Saints.
Marching Saints.
Marching in.
Marching in.
And when the Saints go marching.
Saints or Sinners, episode 4. Saints are good, sinners are bad. Yesterday we saw a lot of sinners out on the track at RSEA Park. Welcome to the podcast, St Kilda Fan Made Podcast, combining the knowledge of three passionate Saints fans and one expert non-biased head coach to bring you everything that is Saints, from stats to game plans to what could have been as we enter now our 59th year in a row without a premiership. Before we get started, let's introduce the star panel today. Firstly, 35 plus years of watching St Kilda games, which is over 700 games watching the Saints, a semi-retired chef of five-star restaurants across Sydney, Melbourne and Sri Lanka. Now also working at the MCG, we have Yoz.
Thank you. Thanks for a very generous introduction, but I'll take it. Thank you. Welcome, boys.
A fantasy fanatic finishing in the top 100, chasing that number one spot in the AFL Dream Team Fantasy World. Over 1,500 games of match highlight packages delivered, working for the AFL himself, we've got St. Trenner.
Thank you, guys. Glad to be here. I had to cover all nine matches this round, and unfortunately, I was given the duty of cutting the Saints highlights this week. I saw a lot of footy and a lot of bad footy.
It's our AFL Athletes Development Coach, VFL Head Coach, and current Head Coach of the North Ballarat Football Club, married to a St Kilda wife and her family, keeping it real for us one-eyed St Kilda fans. It is Coach Proc.
G'day, lads. How's everyone going?
Good to have you back.
Yeah, nice to be back.
And finally, myself, Jules Bolt, former host of AFL Bites on the Footy Live app, looking to bring you some trivia stats and carry out the agenda for today. Speaking of the agenda, we are going to talk about Saints against Port Adelaide yesterday. We're going to talk about our sliding door segment. We're going to give you trivia every 3 minutes. Every time you hear the siren sound, every 3 or 4 minutes, that is, you'll hear the Saints. And we'll talk about our rookies of the year, our Saint or Sinners. And we'll talk Saints footy, everything in between. Yoz.
And we are going to, so I reckon from when the season starts, we're going to keep a leaderboard of this quiz. Because things getting the competitive juices flowing. And we need to keep track of these quizzes.
I'm ready to go.
To see who actually knows what they're talking about.
Oh, I love it. Come on. Please make sure you're listening. And to get us out into more listeners' hands, it's rating us 5 stars on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That really helps. Or reach out to us and give us a follow on Saints or Sinners Pod. That's on Instagram. So nice. Let's get into the action. All right, it is Saints or Sinners. I've lifted my spirits after a horrible match yesterday. 49-93 was the final score yesterday at RSEA Park. I was there. I watched about 3 quarters and a bit before I said, I've had enough. I got to get home. Yoz, what did you think of the Saints against Port Adelaide?
Well, I dodged that bullet, Jules, because I did have a ticket, but I actually had a shift at work. So it turned out to be fortunate that I was at work, because it was pretty average stuff, to be honest. And look, Let's call it straight out. Port Adelaide were experienced, hard-bodied, prime, slick. They were battle-hardened. They're ready to go. Their midfield is everything. Ours is not. So we played a good team. They were on, but it was like boys to men stuff. So you can cue up that song later when we got time. But
what, end of the road?
It was amateur stuff, wasn't it? It wasn't good enough. And we understand the least profile of the team that was out there. It was a lot of young players, but some of the stuff for me was like skill-wise was inexcusable. What's that got to do with being an experienced team? Like the same old story, the poor kicking skills, especially in that front half, time and time again. I think you brought this up with Clint a couple of episodes back, Jules. Why do we kick it in our forward line and why do the opposition team mark it so often?
Mm.
I mean, it was like kick to kick with Finlayson and Ali didn't even have to do anything, mate. He was having a chill-out day. Just kept kicking right. Finlayson all the time, and it kept coming out. I just felt like we didn't give our forwards an opportunity. And same thing, we're asking Owens to do that same role. He's 191 centimetres. He's not a key forward. But we're asking to wrestle. You're kicking it on top of his head. Mate, he got beat up. He got pushed into the guy's back, and his AC joint's a bit sore. So I wasn't happy with that at all. Just the thought, the effort, like from the senior players, the leadership was pretty poor. There were lots of skill errors. I think that first quarter I saw one effort. It was young Burgoyne against Hill, and he just wanted it more,
yep.
Took it off him, and away they went. And I thought that was like indicative of the whole first quarter. Like, we had some decent moments. I liked a bit of what I saw from Angus Hasty. I thought that was positive. There's potential for him to take that halfback role and then push Naz up into that midfield role, which midfield depth is something we lack, obviously, from that. I know Garcia's skills were a bit off yesterday, but he was in everything. When he gets it, he moves the game forward, which I like. He doesn't go backwards. He'll make some errors, but he's on it. He's like hard. He's got a hard edge. Obviously, Boxall, we all like what we've seen. He looks like Simon Dalrymple special, from the mid-draft range, which he was really good at Sydney. He kicked a couple of goals, and he offered a bit of hardness and a bit of class. What else? I think Keeler, I think Clinto's man, Keeler, he showed a bit when he came on, because I think they completely stitched up our mate Harry Boyd in the middle. They put him up against Soldo, Sweet, who are two experienced rucksmen. And we were actually trying to get Soldo in last year.
That's right.
Clearly, you could see why he wanted to, because he's a hard body. He's a tap ruckman that complements Marshall. But it didn't happen. And another thing that really disappointed me was Horn Francis. We know he's a top-class midfielder. But if you remember when we played them last year at Marvel, he's third quarter. He just ran himself ragged. And he's the reason they won the match. And again, it was yesterday. It was just too hard.
It was everywhere.
Too tough for them. Garcia, I think, started a bit on him. They had to put Steele on to him for a bit. But he was just too good. So, yes, there's a long list there. But that's just some of the stuff.
Let it out.
Oh, that's... all I'll say for now. I'll get handed over to someone else as well.
26-1, Jason Horn Francis is at the Brownlow odds at the moment.
Can I say also one more thing? I did see, I watched a replay because I was working obviously. So I did see Rossi before the match, and what was his quote was about how the forward lines are going to work. It was more win the contest and trust yourself to score from that. And we didn't win any contests. So I understand, like you said, the list profile that played yesterday was pretty young, but you know, we didn't see any of that.
Oh, siren sound. That means trivia question. Actually, Trent is going to take the lead on the trivia today. So, Trent, what have you got for us?
I've got some Who Am I's in store for you with some cryptic clues. So, let's just see how we go.
Play
with
along
the first
at
one.
Home as well.
It's St Kilda player. My first name is a kitchen item used to preserve food. And surname is something you'd find in the bush or at a bonfire.
Man, I should be all over this.
Listen at home.
First name is Jar.
First name is what?
Jar. Put food in.
You put food in a jar. Okay.
Tupperware,
so the first part of
container,
the name. Okay.
Jar.
Okay. Any more clues?
What's the type of jar?
Oh.
Screw on. Jam jar.
And surname is something you'd find in the bush or at a bonfire.
Oh mate, this is embarrassing. We should know this.
I hope there's someone.
How do you start a campfire at home? You need what?
Matches.
And what else do you know?
Lighter,
put in?
Fire,
what
wood,
gets it going?
Mason wood.
Come on, Yoss. That's a bloody Mason jar in the house.
Well, I have to remove that 5-star.
Well done. That's good.
I like it. That's very good. Trent, what do you have for us in the Saints vs Port games? You cut the highlights, and I imagine 90% of those were Port Adelaide highlights.
That's right. Didn't find many Saints highlights in that. No, Yoss, you summed it up perfectly. Rosie and Horn Francis were doing as they liked through the middle, but what was really disappointing for me was that they threw Jeremy Finlayson back. They were trialing him as a fullback, and he absolutely dominated. And such is the nature, is if you put a backman against the Saints, he's going to dominate you.
Just tell Jeremy it's not going to be like that every week, please.
No, that's
honestly,
right.
The Saints just, the defenders against the Saints have field days.
He was just a general at the back, controlling everything. And this is a guy that's a forward in reality, but he killed us down back, as did their halfbacks, Bergman, Burgoyne. They were doing as they pleased from halfback. So really, it was just like watching a team just doing as they please out the back line, and then just the Saints just trying to weather the storm, and we absolutely couldn't do that. So I was really disappointed in what I saw, but not surprised given our forward line. You look at the names there, and you're crying out for a big name to come and save us, because you're looking at guys like Sharman who compete. Owens didn't get a touch in the first quarter and then got injured. Yeah, really disappointed. I don't think we've got the list to compete in the forward line, and that actually spreads across the ground as well. One thing I found interesting was that Wangan and Miller got chucked in the middle at some point, and he also got chucked forward, and it reminds me of an old video game where you're taking your best player and just chucking him in wherever you can find him so you can solve it. But unfortunately, it was too much for one man to do. So that's how I summed it up.
And I don't think a 17 million Finn Callahan would have solved the problem yesterday. It's funny, Trent was speaking about the marks. Trent Hart was speaking about the marks, and the Port Adelaide Power had 140 marks, the Saints 63. It just goes to show the dominance that they had. And I'm also mentioned as a stat head, Port Adelaide had 482 disposals as a team. The league, the highest average of the league last year was 380. So to have 482 is just staggering. It's a number, I haven't looked into it deeper, but I don't think that number would have been hit many times last year. To get over 400 disposals is something that GWS and Bulldogs do, the low end of 400. So to get close to 500 disposals is an absolute domination. So that just goes to show. And I tell you what, I run a resume business on the side. Here's what I want you to do as Saints fans. Go to your resume, go down to the section where it says skills and add resilience to it. Because that is exactly what it takes to put up with this miserable club. Years of no premiership. I can't take it anymore.
Pump the brakes a little bit. Come on.
I can't do it. They're offering you free wheels, y'all. What about therapy?
Mate, I know only got 35 years of it, but like it is pre-season. And also, remember, we did play really well against the Kangaroos last pre-season. Our man of the podcast, Bonner, Riley, was on fire off the half-back line. We did start really well, so let's maybe pump the brakes a bit. I understand completely what you're saying, but me having to be positive sees how bad the match is.
Trying to set a good example for our nephew, Jager Sainz. Okay, so we'll try and be positive. Let's get into one of our favourite sections. It is the Lion Tamer himself. Sitting quiet over there. Coach Brock, what do you have for us online and the Saints?
I don't really have to say much. I think it's all been said. You went the numbers and you've gone with all the insights, the halfback, obviously all the way through to the midfield and the challenges with that. You boys are all over it. I really haven't got a lot for you. Look, the only thing that I'll bring up that I looked at and it was pretty glaring and obvious to me was fundamentals. And I just felt like the Saints weren't as clean. Their skill execution was clearly off. And I'm not talking about, like, under pressure, like just shoulders out stuff, missing targets. And also just in the stoppages, fumbling. Now, obviously, you know, you mentioned before, Yoz, and, you know, Horn Francis and these guys are all bigger bodies and things like that. But they did have moments where they got their hands on the ball because clearances weren't that bad, right? I think in the end it was pretty even. But they just weren't clean enough from the stoppages, and which then basically gave the what you call like an ugly kick out of the stoppage, and then from there it was just difficult for any half forward in the Saints forward line to defend. So that was really obvious to me. And I don't want to I will name them.
Name him.
And I know Garcia is good as well, but it's a little moment, fumbles inside. He was one, a culprit in there. I thought Windhager was really poor. Like he was caught behind a lot and didn't really give much. I'm not sure why he's playing half forward. I would definitely have him on ball and tell him to roll his sleeves up and go to work in there. There was alarming, like, little moments. I felt Butler, especially at the start of the first quarter, there was this kick, I think, went inside 50. It was sort of going over his head. He could have went for that, right? And he was just like, nah. Didn't want it. And I was like, oh, that's not a good sign early. And that's a guy that's got to have a big year, right? Especially Treno's put him down as one of those guys. So I just felt like that all happened in the first quarter. And then what happens, that just goes through your team. It festers everywhere, and then all of a sudden you're just on the back foot, and it was 7-0. So that that all comes back to fundamentals. That's a choice, right? It's effort and choice, and then you know, really, it's not about teaching anything in that. It's all about back to it, fundamentals. Well, so
can I just jump in there? Yeah. Well, one thing you always say about Lion teams that it's not, they might not be the most skillful, they might not have the best players, but they always put those fundamentals, that effort, that commitment. That's what he expects from him, and that's what I think might be disappointed yesterday. Sorry.
That was really obvious for me because it was very difficult to talk about the match sort of systems and ball movement because 480 possessions to 300 is just not going to stack it up, right? Wow. So, Port had 232 handballs. Like, it was just dominance in that. So, it's very hard to sort of, I guess, you know, look at the outside and say, oh, yep, I saw this sort of trend and whatnot. But really what was alarming was the fundamentals. Some good things, though, that came out of the game. Jack McRae is a great pickup by far. The only thing I'll say is it's alarming how good he is compared to everyone else. And he wasn't that good at the Dogs. So that's – no, he was on the way out, right? So, like, I'm like, oh, wow, that's good, but it's sort of bad. Yeah. Or maybe it's rejuvenated him clearly, right? Mm. But he was so much better than everyone else. Yeah. You know, he's obviously got a point to prove and he's up and about, but he looked really great. He was clean. Yeah. He did everything right. He was your best player by a mile.
And is he on the phone to his agent? Yeah. What have you done to me? What have you done?
The other thing, obviously, you know, Wangan in Malira was fantastic, gave lots of runoff and things like that too. So he clearly is a great player, went inside, had a moment and forward as well. So I picked that up as well. So those two in particular were fantastic and really good. But in the end, it just come back to the fundamentals, and that was the biggest issue.
Oh, siren time. Trent, what have you got for us? Let's redeem ourselves after that Mason mid runner. Mason jar, that was so obvious in hindsight.
All right, my first name is a type of playing card. The surname might remind you of a festive sing-along.
So Jack, I'm guessing, for the first one, hopefully. as a playing card. And the surname?
Higgins.
And the surname might remind you of a festive sing-along.
Mm. Festive sing-along?
Well, I'm going blank. Crickets, come on.
Shall I give you the the holiday?
Wait, what's the holiday?
Xmas.
Christmas. A Christmas sing-along. Bells?
Is he a well-known
go
player?
Again, go again.
Jack, we got Jack. Come on.
These are too good. Jack Higgins? Missy Higgins?
How would you define an Xmas song?
What's like another jingle? Name for
Mary.
Carol?
Jingle.
Oh, Jack Carroll.
Oh, Jack Carroll.
Okay. Are we just bad at this?
I think your players aren't famous enough. You know what I mean? Like,
we're rocking up in the questions.
I've never heard of that guy.
Mason Wood. Hopefully you're playing along with these at home and putting us to shame.
I need to lift earlier. This is once a
like Ben King or something, you know?
It's in the podcast name itself, Saint or Sinner. This is where we go around the panel and ask everyone to present forward to the crew a saint or sinner. I'll be very surprised if you guys nominate some saints after yesterday, but nonetheless, we try and see the positives. I want to set a good example for my nephew. Please, guys, who do we have? Yours, we'll start with you, saint or sinner.
I'm going to bang out two quickies. I'll start with a saint. I thought Angus Hastie showed a bit off the back, half back line, and I think him being able to play that half back allows guys like Sinclair and Wanganeen Maliara up further in the field where they'll do more damage. So I thought he was showed a bit of positive signs. Also, sinners, I've got to name some experienced guys. Woody, Cordy, mate. They were stumbling, they were fumbling, they were off the pace. Bad decisions that we saw time after time. So I wasn't happy with that.
Proc, what have you got for us? Saint or sinner? You can choose one or both.
Sinner, and he was amazing, right? And he's your best player by a mile, Wanganeen Maliara. But he's a sinner because he was on Joey Richards and he tore you up in the first quarter. Joey Richards was everywhere, and I was like, why is Joey Richards having such a great game? So he has to just watch. Like, I know he's incredibly important with his run and his drive, but teams will look in and be like, okay, we either lock him down or we put our best forward on him that does this type of damage. So, and especially if you're not, like, dominating games, it can be a real risk. So you have to be careful of that one.
Let's be fair. Joey Richards is not your best forward. He's a decent player. He's a good player.
But Joey Richards having a fair game. Who's on him? And then I'm like, oh, actually, I know who's on him because he's over there.
Trenor, who have you got for us?
Well, I have to give you a sinner. My sinner was going to be Mitch Owens until he got injured because I was, like I said, he got donuts in the first quarter. He couldn't get around the ball and then unfortunately injured his shoulder. So obviously wish him all the best. But he was the one that was supposed to break out last season, as was his partner in crime, Marcus Windhager. And Marcus Windhager yesterday had a total of 11 disposals and only 36% disposal efficiency. I mean, this is a guy that's supposed to be our future, and we've barely even seen him, so I want to see more from Windhager next time.
Yeah, well, actually, Clint had a little bit of an insight before we were doing the podcast. He was having a chat. What was that thing that you saw from Windy?
Yeah, he was just caught on the back foot, right? Like, the centre bounces, you normally someone wins a clearance, right? As a half forward, you should always have a contest because it's 1v1. But he was caught behind a couple of times. I just thought, geez, he's on the back foot here. So, like, I don't know if he's happy playing half forward. Like, is he a half forward or is he a midfielder?
We don't know his exact. I mean, he is a half forward, but we just haven't found that right position for him yet.
I thought he played his best roles inside when he was doing a job on someone,
he's
right?
He's tagging in and he had a breakout. Yeah. We thought a breakout game in that Collingwood win at the G early
and
last year.
He was playing
year.
In the midfield?
He was playing in the midfield and he really, like, not only tagging, he really set it up as well with a bit of offensive work, but like it sort of hasn't gone as well for him. I'm going to defend Owens a little bit. I don't think they're using him correctly. Like they're putting him in situations where he's got to wrestle bigger guys, kicking it on top of his head. I'm saying it again, but I don't like how they're using him. They got to let him off the leash a bit, let him get up the ground a bit, get back a bit, have a bit of freedom, you know.
I agree. And what's concerning is those are our two of our most exciting young talents, and we don't even know what position they're best in. Do you know what I mean? Like, just even sitting here, I don't know whether Marcus Windhager is best off half back where he's played before, in the centre or up forward. Mitch Owens, I could not tell you where he plays.
I'm going to go with a sinner for today, based off yesterday's game. I'm going to go Anthony Caminiti because, well, without Josh Battle, he was played down back last year. Sorry, with Josh Battle, he was played down back, and I thought without, maybe he might retain his spot there. But without Max King and without Membry, we chucked him forward, and I just didn't see a lot from him yesterday. He had 2 marks, 3 kicks, 37 metres gained and 89% time on ground. And he missed a pretty easy set shot. I thought his body language was poor as well. And I just, I think these are the moments that you need to stand up. I know it's just a preseason game, but without Membry, who kicked four goals for the Collingwood Magpies, I might just add as well. I was a little bit disappointed with him as well. And, you know, people can say, well, the entry wasn't great, but Saints actually had 47 inside 50s, which is actually more than Port Adelaide, which is actually quite alarming considering how much we got dominated. So, you know, again, entry was poor, but I just felt like effort-wise and body language, it just wasn't as good as someone who needs to prove himself if he wants to be in that forward line. So
yeah, I think, well, that's the reason we got rid of Timmy Membry. We knew what Timmy was going to – he's a good player and he knew he'd do well, but that's why they give these guys the opportunity, so they got to take the opportunity. I think that's a fair call.
Oh, I don't even know if we want to do this. I'm scared because we're putting ourselves to shame, but let's do it. I am loving these questions. Trent, what have you got for us?
You've warmed up now.
Yeah. Warmed up.
You've got the idea now. So the first name is shared with a famous Hemsworth brother, and the surname could describe someone filling...
Liam Stocker.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Oh, focus.
Boom.
All right, so you don't know your jars, but you like your Hemsworth brothers.
You knew my Hemsworth brother. I was in Byron Bay for a bit. So I see a
restaurant up there too, huh?
I missed the second part of that clue.
The surname could describe someone filling shelves at a supermarket.
Docker.
Oh, focus a bit.
Yeah. Love it. More to come on Saints or Sinners.
Sliding doors!
Brings it back to the WWE days.
Love that band that's, you know, taking it on upon themselves to write music for us. Thank you so much. Yoz, sliding doors. This is where we ask what if as we, you know, reflect on the history of Saints.
Yeah,
what do you
like,
have for
like
us?
Like the sliding doors is always like I'm always... followed how we've drafted after that successful period, 2009, 2010, because that's how you're meant to get your base of players. Look, and it also, it's always subjective. There's always going to be picks that clubs regret they didn't make, but that's the reason. That's why we look back in hindsight, because we can see why our team is at this position, why we don't have that midfield depth. And we're going to, this one's going to be slightly controversial because he's in the news. He's like, one of our future stars, should be one of our future stars, Max King, 2018, mm-hmm. pick number four. So Max, like Max and his family have a history of supporting St Kilda, and he was always going to be that pick four. But I remember at the time there was some discussion about why don't we look at Connor Rosie, because he is class. So Connor Rosie went pick five, and we all know how good he is, and he's the type of player that we do lack. And it just, for whatever reason, King obviously came off the knee reconstruction in his draft year. He played a bit of VFL that year, but it just hasn't clicked body-wise for him. We know what he can do when he's on and what a game-changer he is, but we haven't seen it consistently. And we have seen that Connor Rosie. Pick six was a brother, Ben King. And there was always this sort of conjecture. I think old Simon Lethlean might have joked about it at the time, or we'll get Max in and then we'll take Ben King from Gold Coast. And Ben King also did his knee up there, but he's also been probably a more proven, reliable goal kicker, a better target. And I think with Max, it's like he's, I think the band's got in his body language, that sort of thing he needs to improve. But obviously the potential is there to be one of the top forwards, but we haven't seen it. Also pick seven, I'll keep going, Bailey Smith, Bazilenka. Pick 12, Zach Butters. Oh. So, like, these are the, like, it's not right or wrong that they took Max. Like, it could prove right in the end, but these are the decisions that put us in this position that we don't have that midfield depth. And the decisions that you make, like, pick three in that rookie draft was Cal Wilkie, and look at the sort of progress he made from that position. Mm. And just a little quick one, because I don't want to run over, another sliding door moment in that season, 2018. We did trade for Dan Hannanbury, another of Lethlean's, I think, Xavier College connections. But what did we give? Like, people rag on Hannanbury. I don't know. It just didn't work out for him. I think he's a good bloke. Man, his resume at Sydney was amazing. But we did trade. They didn't use a pick that year, Sydney, that we gave them. But we did trade a second-round pick the following year, which they did use on someone else, but the pick after that second round pick was Kaiden Coleman, Kitty Coleman at Brisbane. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Sydney had another pick straight after that pick they got from us. And who was that? Chad Warner.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm just saying these are the decisions that you look back. Maybe if we kept that second round pick, we could have got one of those players if you nail it. Those
I don't
are
know
the sort
if
of
I
decision.
Like the second
no. Chad Warner.
But that's just the reality of it. It's easy to look back in hindsight and say all these picks, but this is the reality.
These are the players that were out there.
If you nail the draft and you nail your picks, this is what happens. So that was the sliding door, two sliding door moments.
Wow. Oh, you know what the science sound means? It is question time. Yours redeemed us last one. Trenor, what have you got for us?
Who am I? My first name is a place one goes to gain or lose weight. It also rhymes with a popular celebration by Steph Curry. Surname? I'll give you the first part of your surname. It's a creepy crawly. The second half of your surname, maybe a wooden spoon in the kitchen.
I think these 2-3-part questions are too complex for us.
Let's break this down.
First name is a popular place one goes to gain or lose weight.
Jim?
Yeah, Jim. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And surname, Creepy Crawly is the first part of your surname.
Spy? Like, as in spy?
Spider.
Jim Spider. Jimmy Webster. Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
So we just need to unpack it and work together.
Yeah,
right?
Tag team this one.
As soon as we go silent, look at the ceiling, it doesn't work. We've got to talk through it.
That's right.
I hope they're doing that at home as well. Jeez. The GT pressure rating segment is here. We'll start with you, Coach Brock. Who's under the microscope and who's under the pump in terms of our GT pressure rating?
All right. Okay, lads. It's the St Kilda midfield.
Oh, the whole group under the pump.
Yeah, everyone, all of them, coaches
included. Oh, fantastic.
Obviously, you know, it was a bit concerning in there with the smaller bodies and things like that. So I want to pick apart a little bit how we can sort of fix that this week, particularly leading into, I guess, round one. Not the opening round, thankfully. We've got a little bit of time to get it right. But look, a couple of things that I would look at straight away is just putting some bigger bodies in there. Now, they don't have to be in there and play minutes, but maybe centre bouncers, for example, because just looked a little light in there. You know, Boyd obviously is a wrestler as well, so you're going to need that bigger body with a one-on-one. And I just think like Mason Wood, potentially. Like, I know he's been on the wing, but I would probably move him forward now. Given the injuries you've had, and let him start inside with his big long arms.
I'm on that.
Connor Nash did it really well, at Box Hill. He was literally dying on a half forward flank, about to get delisted, and came in, played midfield, just had big arms, power, ability to cover the ground and run, and now he's come into Hawthorn's one of their first picked, right, and does really good defensive roles. And I think Wood could possibly do something similar like that. So, first of all, just start him inside. And then from there, you never know. It could potentially move into something that could help the Saints. I would definitely put Jack Higgins like a Papley type. So, just centre bounces, same thing. Just let him spit forward, go forward, really, you know, go fast. You have a license from there. And then what I'd do with that, if that's the case, I'd have Windhager just start half forward and come up and grab his man.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you've got, you know, a little bit of a mismatch, get a bit of, you know, on our terms a little bit. I just think two simple things like that could help. And all of a sudden Windhager's in the contest a little bit more and Higgins is, you know, coming forward, being really aggressive, and maybe finding the ball in dangerous areas.
Well,
and
I think
things
that's
like
really
that.
Good because you throw in the same looks at the opposition all the time, and it's not working. And we know Jackie Boy; he knows how to get in his bike back to goals.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't win it, he knows what to do.
So there, that's the positional changes, and then the second one to that is around the structures. So normally the Saints would have what we call a skinny winger and an offside winger. The offside winger plays a really important role in creating a plus one at the back. I would just take that away. I would move that offside winger straight over to the back of the ruckman. So whenever there's a boundary throw in, he would literally be there. I'd have a skinny winger sitting in there as well. And you could even move that winger through to go wing v wing, and you just have a midfield pop out. So all of a sudden you've got that circle of support. You've got three mids, you've got your winger versus winger, and one over the back as well. And essentially, you're just covering. So there's no easy out. So when Rosie and all these guys are coming through, mate, they're hitting bodies.
Yep.
The risk that comes with it, though, is that you don't have your winger to be a plus one. But to be honest, the ball was going in that fast. It didn't really matter, right? And they were low in their eyes. They weren't even bombing. So your plus one wasn't really having any effect. So I would make those two adjustments just to see if it makes a difference around the stoppage. And then from there, it's literally one-on-one. Go to work.
We got smashed today. We're in that ground ball wins where, like, They belted us in everything else as well. So, I think it's, like, really good points to look at as well, something to change up. Because, like, rolling out the same stuff and saying we're getting the same results, mate, I'm over it. So that's a really good insight.
Well, just to further echo what Coach Brock was saying, Connor Rosie, Ollie Wines and Jason Horne-Francis all had over 31 touches, which is not easy to do when you have an opposition midfield who all get 30-plus touches, and Rosie was 39, one shy of 40. So it's got absolutely dominated in there.
Well, it didn't feel like they were... Like they had so many possessions, but it didn't feel like they were chipping it round either, It felt like they were flowing off the half back.
Yeah.
232 handballs. Yeah. It was chaining out. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Just remember, though, it is a practice match.
That's true.
I know we're caught up in it.
Agree.
It is still a practice match. So, yeah. And the last thing I'd say, that's what I do for the mids. And then for what it's worth, we're on a podcast chatting about it. Ross will fix the defensive problems.
Okay.
He will, because it was really alarming, like the way they scored, the way they moved the ball. And I looked at that, I'm like, oh, they'll fix that. Right?
And by fix, you mean throw 18 men behind the ball.
Well, he's such a great defensive coach, right? Won't happen. So he'll tidy that up. The other issue around fundamentals and midfield support, they're going to have to look at that.
Mm.
But defensively, to have that type of score and ball and that many of possessions, that won't happen again. Because there was way too many uncontested marks.
What do you think about our pair of Jack Glynn? Is that a winning hand or not?
Which one?
Jack Steele McRae? And Jack McRae in the middle. Jack Steele was crying for support. We've given him Jack McRae. We've given him another Steele, Jack.
Well, yeah.
Is Steele an A grader in your eyes as a non-biased supporter? Because often we get questioned that whether Steele is an A grade midfielder.
He's a good honest player.
I think, yeah. Can I just call it out? He struggled since Ross come.
Yeah.
Right? He was clearly an A-grade midfielder and going really, really, really well. And then Ross came and something changed. Now, I don't know what it is or... Yeah, I haven't seen him the same for 2 or 3 years
now. That is interesting because he did mention that when Ross joined, he did find it a bit difficult in that he got called out on... A lot of stuff by Rossi that he was used to doing.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's interesting to analyse that. We'll keep an eye on that relationship during the year because, like Clint said, something doesn't feel right with Jackson. I think that year had a few issues with the shoulder and he wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
But this year he's fit and firing, so we need to see that he gets to that top grade level.
He hasn't played a good year for 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah, 2 years.
We actually went and watched him have a chat, and he did sort of hint that he's been playing underdone, you know, the past few seasons, as you mentioned. So, to his credit, I mean, he's battled on. But, now that he's got, you know, whether it's too early to say his partner in crime and Jack McRae, it'll be interesting to see if he lifts to that level.
Oh, question time. Let's break it up with one of these. I'm liking these. Trent, do you have another one for us?
Yeah, very good quality.
Sure do. So, our surname rhymes with a popular place to host a large event. And first name is sometimes referred to as top speed.
Max Hall.
Wow, straight away.
The Hall, of course.
Did anyone beat that time at home? That was pretty good.
I thought it was too simple. I was like, that must be more difficult. No, but we got that one.
I like it.
You're catching on. That's right.
Let him with that
You're
one.
You're going to run out of names better. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yossi, do you have anyone for us in your pressure rating? Who's under the pump before round one?
I'm going to tie it in with Clinto because I think he's on the ball. I'm going to tie it in with Windy and Burns. Who I'd heard mentioned in the thing is a young player. He's in his seventh year. He's 60 games. Windhager's in his fourth year, so it's time to perform. Or these younger guys are going to go past them, so they're under the pressure rating for me.
Yeah, actually, I'll tie into that. I actually had Burns written down for mine as well. I thought that he was, I don't know if you called it that winger who gets pushed into the back line, but I saw him getting outmarked, and we looked really undersized. And I just felt that he just doesn't compare to some of the other wingers in the competition. And if he's in his seventh year, when is he going to start proving himself as a key member of this team?
I see him
going in and out of the side unless he just establishes a really good position on the wing, and he just didn't seem to do that yesterday. So definitely pressure will be on Burns.
He's a Robert Eddie of Rossi's second. I don't want to rag on Robert Eddie, but he did get 2 grand finals made in 39 games.
Trent, do you have someone under the microscope in your GT pressure
under the microscope? The microscope is the medical staff because we need to get Jack Sinclair and Ryan Marshall ready for round one. By God, please do whatever it takes to get them ready for round one, or else that trip to Adelaide is not going to be fun.
Liam Henry.
That's right, Liam Henry. There's a few of them on there, but if they could just get Jack Sinclair and Ryan Marshall to start us off, then we might not get pumped as much as I think we will in Adelaide.
Well, I think Ro helps that midfield in that he's not a tap ruckman, we know, but he's that follower. So he adds he's just another midfielder. And he does get a lot of, he's up there in the clearances for fantasy football all the time. So he's that big body, which we don't have as well. So they do need him because I think Boyd, whilst he'll be serviceable, Keeler looked a lot better when he came on. But he got touched up by the double team of Sweet and Soldo.
Speaking of fantasy, that's going to lead very well into our next segment, Fantasy Football with Trenor, after the break. Fantasy Fantasy, for all you fantasy nuffies out there. Trenor, what have you got for us fantasy terms? Anyone, are we picking up any Saints players after yesterday or what?
Saints have historically been pretty good fantasy players, so don't rule them out yet. I mean, there is a lock there. Everyone knows. We've been talking about him for weeks. Jack McRae, locked and loaded. That 100-plus average that we've been speaking about is looking good. But I just want to talk about everyone else in fantasy terms. It's definitely the year to get on board because the team practically picked itself for the most part. I mean, you've got your ruck sorted for the first time in a long time. Tristan Cherry and Tom DeConin are your two rucks that you want to lock in.
We're not going with Roy.
We're not going with Roy just because of that injury worry, and I don't know whether Boyd plays as support, but otherwise, yeah, Tristan Cherry and Tom DeConin are where you want to start your rucks. In defence, everyone's jumping on Jaden Short. Richmond are going to have a lot of kick-ins.
And no Rioli, right?
No Rioli. And he's priced under what he's capable of, so definitely get him in your back line. Forward line is pretty much sorted. Bailey Smith, Jack McRae, Caleb Daniel, and the man that killed us yesterday or the other day, Jason Horne-Francis.
Three of them are ex-Bulldogs. So.
That's right.
Bevo, mate, that's what happened.
Thank you, Bevo, for shifting the magnets and sending them our way.
Wow.
Then I want to talk about the midfield, actually, because Clayton Oliver has been one that's been talked about a lot this preseason because of his year last year where he had an average of 77 down from 100-plus the year before. Mm. But he's locked and loaded. He kicked 3 goals. So Clayton Oliver, you can pick him with confidence.
Wow.
There's a lot of mid-prices to pick from. Dylan Scheel, as I spoke about last week, that halfback role is looking very nice. The Dane Zorko role, he scored over 100. So he's one that you can pick if you want that mid-pricer to generate some cash. The Carlton boys are where I'm really interested in because you've got Ollie Hollins now playing that distributing role off halfback. You've got Adam Chera, who's been injury-riddled. And you've got Sam Doherty, the resilient man who just keeps battling on. Those three are very underpriced. What I would probably be going with is probably a combo of Chera and Hollins for now. I didn't like that Doherty only played half of the game. I don't know whether he's sore or whether he's just a bit underdone. Maybe that means that he's not in the full mix, but I'd be going with Chera and Hollins. So there you go. Plenty of mid-prices to think about. Yes.
My team changes every week now.
That's right. It just changes every time. It's easy to get sucked into those prices, isn't it?
Maybe change it.
All right. My first name is the name of a popular American actor who stars in a superhero movie. While my surname could be linked to a popular Simpsons character.
Mate, superhero movie, Marvel, I'm out.
Superhero.
What about the surname? A popular Simpsons character.
Well, I mean,
Homer.
Marge.
Homer. Simpson.
He's a boss in The Simpsons.
Burns.
Ryan Burns.
There you go.
Right.
Okay, I like it.
Ryan Reynolds gave it to us.
Not bad.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds, yes.
I'll throw out actually one, which is a bit of a fun fact from yesterday. Actually, it's not that fun. Nothing about yesterday was fun. But last week we asked on the podcast, we talked about a player who averaged 99-plus time on ground. So yesterday, Cal Wilkie had 100% game time. I actually noticed there was one other player for the Saints who played 100% of the game. Mm. Do we have any idea who that was?
Cordy, was it?
It was. Did you see the misery on his face?
Mate, he was struggling. Cordy, you usually normally know what you'll get with. But he's looked out of place. I said, I'm just worried about having him pick up the bigger body forwards. It's just out of his league. He might just be a bit old, a bit underdone. And we haven't seen Scone Makers as well. So
yes,
bring him in.
Interested in that.
There was one moment there where the ball was coming towards Cordy and another player, and Cordy stepped back and let it roll through. And you actually hear in the coverage someone from the crowd going, Cordy!
That's interesting because when Dougal Howe was in the bad books of the fans, everyone was all, look at Cordy when he comes in, mate. He's a marking machine off the pack line.
I invite you to watch the replay and look out for that. When Zane Cordy doesn't attack the ball, someone in the crowd says exactly what we all said at home, probably watching.
Well, tracking back to Yoz talking about Ari and the youth players that we have, let's talk about some of the rookies and maybe you could rate some of our rookies that have started this year.
We'll do a little rookie watch to see how our draft picks and pickups for this year are going.
Yep.
Toby Trevallier, I'm interested to see why they're not bringing him on early because he does have a bit of pace, he does have a bit of flash, a bit of dash, but they've only brought him on right at the end. So he had his moment last week when he slotted that goal, but there is something there. I'd like to see a bit more of him. We're going to need to queue up our favourite sound, the Viking Taru.
There it is.
He is the type of player we are crying out for, that X factor forward or back, but we're not going to see him till mid-year. James Barrett, not sighted yet, but we might get a chance because he's a big defender. Boxall is the one. like I said, Simon Dalrymple mid-draft special, pick 45, I think it was. Mate, he's got that big, he's 187, so he's got a bit of size about him.
Yep.
But there was a contest, I think, if you saw where he went right in when it was there to be won, put his head over the ball, and he slotted a couple of goals. He had a bit of candy selling, so he's sewed a bit, and he looks like he's in Rossi's favourite. So, Boydy Harry didn't have a good day yesterday, but he didn't get towed up. He just up against two experienced AFL ruckmen that showed. So, yeah, I think, like, the one dasher that's coming in hard and fast is Boxall, we've all seen. So it's interesting to see how he'll go if he plays round one.
I'm glad you actually mentioned him, Yoz, because I noticed him the most yesterday cheering on the Saints. I actually thought that we had some really good moments from him, and I was looking for him in the match to pick us up when we were down, and I'm picking a guy who hasn't even played a game yet to lead from the front, and and Ross loves him. He's come out and said that he loves him, and you can see why.
Yeah, interesting. Anything to add?
That's a problem when you're talking about Boxall as a good player. No, well, like, come on.
Well, that's a problem. Where's
your first draft pick? Oh, no, I'm only joking.
That was a good moment.
Garcia, Wilson, no, these players. All right.
That was a segment rookie watch.
You got me on here for the reason, right? I'm going to give you...
Yeah, that's right. The same good on social media team was on as well.
The problem is,
I felt sorry for the Saints social media team because they were building the matchup. I'm telling you, RSC Park.
Don't put too much pressure on these kids. Like, oh my God, who's played one game? Two games. It's a practice match.
Yeah. It's a rookie watch segment. Jesus That's Christ. Why we picked
it. I'm
just going to say one thing that I noticed. It's to the 15th minute of the third quarter. So after a full half, we'd only kicked one goal. And that actually came off the back of Boxall's dive against Alir Alir, in which he turned to Alir and gave him a little cheeky smile because he knew that he went to ground very easily. So
charity at its...
I did actually, after listening to Coach Brock last week, I actually did take a lot of comfort in all seriousness watching the game and seeing the Saints go out wide, because I knew immediately it was part of their game plan. But I guess what happens is, where it gets disappointing is when you lose by so much in the nature as we did. You see they're not used to the corridor, they're not taking the game on. What is it that we can do to fix these errors that keep happening when we go wide and it just looks like lack of effort, poor body language? It's like there's no magnet shifting around. I mean, we did try to throw Naz into the midfield and we tried to move things around
just
a little
bit.
Does the game plan... Are we ready to experiment with another game plan, or is this wing something that we just have to look forward to every week?
Yeah. You have... Again, the fundamentals were so bad on the weekend that you can't start anything if you can't pick the ball up clean. And you're not tough enough in a round of contest, and you can't hit a target. You're in all sorts. You can't even start the game. So
looking at the draft.
I had down here. I was like, what's the draft like next year, Yoz?
You're all over that. I think it's build the team around Boxall.
40% of the draft is already attributed to father sons, NGAs, and academies. So we do have one NGA prospect. I think his name is Kai Fincher.
Okay.
In under 16, under 17 for the Vic Metro. But let's just remember last year where we didn't pick up any of our NGA academies. Yeah. We didn't pick up our father son. Of the ways we put Adrian Cole, 194 lockdown defender. Okay. Might have been handy on the list this year. And he's playing North Reserves this year. Yeah, I did look that up. So I'm keep track on how he goes.
Mm-hmm.
Geelong also picked up one of our other NGAs, Hoffman. We'll keep a track of that.
So is the draft any good? Do you know?
Last year was meant to be the loaded one, and because of all the NGA picks, and mainly the academies and the father sons, you're going to not have the pick of the best prospects. I think it's going to be Gold Coast. They're going to clean up again. Yeah. I think there's some really high picks going there, which is good on them. Mate. They built the academies up.
Yeah.
So I'm not cracking that they're getting that opportunity. But our president's not going to be happy, really. We're up the top end and all those picks are... We'll get to pick from the fifth best player again, even though we're picking possibly third.
Got to wrap up in the next 3 minutes. Yoz, maybe give us a quick injury update. We will preview our round one selections next week, but maybe as you talk about some of our injured players and who's ready to come back, we can ask Coach Proc if adding these star players back, Marshall, Sinclair and the likes of them, could actually add a lot of difference to what we saw yesterday. So, Yoz, who do you have for us on the injury front?
Injury update. I got it on the whiteboard, which we will bring out next week when we start doing our round one team. Sinks looks like he's going to be there, which we need that midfield depth, which I hope he will be playing midfield. Henry, I'm saying second, third round. I don't think he's going to make the first round, which is super disappointing because he's that X factor we need. Sharman, I'm just going to call Clint. How long is it for a fractured thumb?
Can be a week, can be six.
Let's see.
It's very hard to...
He's in the maybe bracket. Rowan Marshall, they say he's going to be there, but he's not going to be fully fit, is he? So we'll have to see. Hunter Clark, I think he played reserves, so he's available.
Fantastic.
Machito Owen's got the AC, so we got to wait and hear for that. Mm. Definitely no Philippou, definitely no Howard, definitely no Dow. And I will say that I do live around the RSEA Park area, Moorabbin area, and I was going to pick up my Sri Lankan short eats, shouted to Uncle over opposite the station there. And who was wandering around? Burnsy and King. And Max King looked cooked, mate. I know he just had the surgery, but I'm calling it a month away, mate. I felt bad for him. He just basically couldn't walk, mate. He was just hobbling down the street. So there is a real-time...
That's more than a month, mate.
Mate, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're saying he's not going to be ready for round one. I'll just say that straight out.
Cooked King, huh?
Wow.
Poor Maxie.
That's a live injury update for you. Wow.
That is live.
Incredible. Let's wrap up. Maybe one more final trivia question to finish off. We love these.
Oh, jeez.
We started finishing off pretty well. Trent, send us off.
You've definitely got the hang of these. All right, your last one. Someone who seeks out wildlife is my first name. And my surname is the first name of a popular superhero when undercover.
I need to repeat.
Okay, yeah, okay.
My first name is someone who seeks out wildlife. And my surname is the first
Hunter
name.
Clark.
Yep. Clark Kent. Hunter.
Yours is on fire.
Yours is the man.
Once it clicked. It takes a while to click. Once it clicks, like it's straight out. But if it doesn't click.
Hopefully we can do it.
Unfortunately, I don't know enough St. Kilda people. Players.
Yeah. Well, I might need to check the random stats and things like that.
I love that. Okay. For those of you who listen and message us on Instagram, which has been happening, we really appreciate that. Make sure you tell us your score if you played along at home with those trivia questions. And just drop us a DM if you have anything to talk about with the Saints. Anyone else, anything before we wrap up?
One more. I just want to shout out to Clint for all these technical footy terms. Mm. I reckon we're going to have to come up with a segment where each week you go through these terms and explain it to us laymen, because we're learning a lot. It's really interesting.
Mm.
What about the skinny side winger?
Yes, that's right.
Yep. A few other things like that, mate. I want to start dropping these when talking about footy.
Well, I can tell you a bit. Look, they need to have a chaos and a wizard in around it.
There you go.
Harry Potter stuff.
I'm dropping Hawthorne's gameplay.
I'd love to know what a goal is as well, because we can't find one.
Thank you so much for joining us on episode 4 of Saints or Sinners. Make sure you drop us 5 stars on that Spotify. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts and make sure you share it with a friend, family member or colleague. We'll see you next week where we preview the round 1 team against Adelaide Crows at Adelaide Oval on Saints or Sinners. Now it's the Saints.